Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two of Live the Promise. So if you just joined us, you missed my first hour conversation with you. Every once in a while, we do these things where you are the special guest. And what we did was called a spiritual reset. But we just wanted to pause. We wanted to address a few factors that can tend to be roadblocks to our spiritual health and growth. And so tell me if you relate to these things. In fact, which of these things most impacts your spiritual walk? Fatigue? Others' opinions, fears, or your just everyday frustrations? I asked that question on Facebook, got a lot of answers. And this, so the show, the first hour, was really to just give you a time. In fact, I suggest you go back when you've got some time to sit down with a cup of coffee or tea, Bible, journal, because we're going to play songs. I'm going to give you a journal exercise where you start to look at fatigue, how it's impacting you, and shifts that God might have you make. Others' opinions. Whose opinion is carrying too much weight and really driving some of your fatigue and your frustration and even robbing you of joy? And fears about tomorrow and just frustrations about today. The first hour, the whole purpose was a spiritual reset so you can get your perspective back, get your legs under you again. Love for you to catch that podcast on our website, myfaithradio.com. So now we're going to switch gears. And if you listen often enough, you know I'm very passionate about the physical spiritual health connection. Super excited to get Kristen Field on. She wrote a book, Spiritually Strong, The Ultimate 6-Week Guide to Building Your Core and Soul. And she's also the author of the best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to the Daniel Fast. I'm going to get her on in a moment, but today the website opens for our 40-day Faith and Fitness Challenge. And so I want to say a year and a half ago, we did a Faith and Fitness Challenge where you add a discipline each week. And I think we had 400 people sign up. And then that last year, we decided to pair it up with the Lenten journey. So 40 days of Lent, doing 40 days of really engaging your physical and your spiritual health because your body is the temple of God. Well, guess what? We had 4,000 people sign up last year. So now the website is open to sign up. More information is there. It officially starts, I think it's February 23rd, but now officially the website is open. If you want more information about the Commit to Live Fit 40-Day Challenge, it's on our website, myfaithradio.com. So I'm not going to waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guest and we'll get her on. Kristen Fiola has worked as a personal trainer, fitness instructor, and nutritional consultant. Her first book, The Ultimate Guide to the Daniel Fast, was released in December 2010. It was among the top 50 Christian bestsellers in February 2011. And each January, Kristen also leads an online Daniel Fast through her website, ultimatedanielfast.com. She frequently is a guest speaker at church services, Bible study groups, ministry events, retreats, and conferences. She lives in Springfield, Missouri with her husband and her two daughters. And I'm so glad to welcome her to the show. Kristen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Glad to be with you. And as you heard, you're a great fit for this show. So we're so excited to just unpack the content of your book. Before we get there, though, let's talk scripture. And you chose 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Unpack that passage for us, if you would.
Well, that passage has meant a lot to me personally. You know, and I worked as a personal trainer and spent a lot of time in the gym. I really got into the physical fitness, and it is important. And so many times we can go to one extreme or the other, where we get into fitness a little bit too much and it becomes the focus, or we don't do anything at all. And fitness is important, but it's not as important as our spiritual growth, that spiritual fitness. And so that always should take priority.
Well, good word. So but let's do this. I'd love a little backstory on just how you came to Christ and then how you actually really realized a real strong physical and spiritual connection.
Well, I actually came to know the Lord as a young person. I was 7 years old, and of course, I had to grow into that, and there was much I had to learn about what it meant to follow the Lord and to be Christ-like. And for many years, I really saw being a Christian as a performance-based type of thing. And I thought if I did well and I followed all the rules, that God would just think that he would be pleased with me and that I could earn his favor. And it wasn't until I was probably in college and a little bit older that I really understood grace as much as you can understand it, you know, and just that applied to me, that the Lord loves me no matter what. I don't have to earn it. I just have to be who he's called me to be and accept that favor that he's already given me. And so I'm still learning how to walk that out. But that's been kind of my growth in a nutshell over the last several years, just really understanding the Bible and how to live out God's promises.
And that really is, you go from strength to strength, glory to glory. I mean, that when we start to understand grace and even tip our toes on the edges of that precious land, everything changes, because then we're living in response to God's love and not in reaction to all the ought-tos and should-dos, you know. And so it does just cause personal internal transformation that's sustainable and amazing. So talk, if you wouldn't mind, about the Daniel fast, how that came to be for you. And just really, I would love for even to just talk about when it, you know, went into book form and just how that must have surprised you. It's wild success. Just talk about that journey a little bit.
Yeah, and it is quite a story, let me tell you, but I'll give you the highlights. The Lord had actually allowed an injury to happen to me so that I would not be able to work out and spend all those hours in the gym, and he gave me that free time so that I would just learn a few things. And so I, through that injury, I started writing again. And so I started putting some thoughts down on paper. And then about that time in 2009, our church was doing a Daniel fast. And it was the first time that I had done it. Our pastor called us to join him in fasting and praying for our second campus. And there were some things I wanted to pray about personally. And so I thought, yeah, I want to do that. And so that was my first journey on the Daniel fast. And the very first morning I woke up, I just sensed the Lord saying, you need to write a blog about this. And I had no idea really what all that would entail, but I thought, why not? I'll just do it as a personal journal to kind of record what God is showing me. And then as I began cooking Daniel fast recipes, I got inspired, and my husband sort of helped out with that. And he said one night, that would be great on your blog. And so I posted recipes and just thoughts. And people within my own church started to visit the website, and they were encouraged. And it really just snowballed. And looking back, I can just see God's hand and his favor on it. I didn't plan to write a book about the Daniel fast. I was just excited about what God was doing and how he was answering prayers. And so I went to a Christian writers conference and proposed an idea to an agent. And that is the agent that I have now, and he liked the idea, and we went for it. And, you know, the Lord gave us favor when one of the top three publishing houses in the world wanted to publish it, Zondervan. So, yes, it is so much a surprise. And every day I'm like, God, how could you allow me to do this? It's just such an awesome gift that he's given me. I'm so thankful.
Wow, I appreciate you sharing that story. That's absolutely amazing. When you did that first Daniel fast, just as not as an author and as a speaker, but as a woman who was going after God, what were some of your takeaways from that time when you were really pressing in to just lay hold of something more in him?
Well, a lot of people under the impression that a partial fast, such as the Daniel fast, is easier, and it's not. And I learned that fasting is difficult no matter how you do it, whether it's just water or you eliminate certain type of foods. But I also discovered great joy in fasting, that it really does allow you to hear God's voice more clearly. You're more spiritually sensitive because you're weak physically. And so you really grow. And it was a special time for me in a lot of ways. And it really did change the whole course of my life. And so I always tell people, you just never know when you enter into a time of prayer and fasting what God's going to do. And so, yes, it has been such an answer to prayer. Prayers I didn't even know how to pray. You know,
isn't
God
has
opened up doors of ministry for me that I never planned on.
Oh, he's so good. Okay, so spiritually strong. Talk about the inspiration behind this one, when it first came to you, and just what your heart and intent is for this one.
Well, a lot of people, when they've done the Daniel fast for 3 weeks, they email me and say, I really feel great. I want to continue these disciplines, these good habits that I've learned on the fast. How can I do this for life? Not that they might be as strict with the food portion, but just the prayer and the healthy choices with the food. And so that got my wheels spinning a little bit about, yeah, what does that look like? And the Lord really showed me that the spiritual disciplines that you learn on a fast, are really the same ones we should be doing every day of our lives. And so I began to dive into God's word and look for those places where he says, you know, be devoted to prayer and some of those other commands and what we should be doing as Christians and those acts of obedience, and that there is great joy when we do them. And so the Lord really just showed me that we do have a spiritual core muscles, I guess, is, that's what I call in the book. They're core muscles that need to be developed, just like you have a physical core. And if your physical core is weak, then that affects the rest of your body. And it's the same with the spiritual core.
And we're going to unpack that whole core strength, because truly, I remember just when I was in the fitness biz, how many personal trainers said so many people spend all this time on their arms and their legs, their limbs, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but they totally neglect their core. But one personal trainer said, and yet when you're a baby, it takes core strength for your first big move, and that's to roll over. And when you're old, it's where injuries happen, when your core is weak and everything in between. And so the idea that when we start to focus and build our core and move out from there, we're so much more stable. And I love the parallel that you've made with the spiritual realm. Tell us, when you open the book, you talk about a story of a girl named Lynn that came to you for personal training. Share that story with us, if you would.
Yes, she was one of my very first clients, probably in her mid-40s or so. And I'll never forget when I first met her, because she came in to the gym, and I could tell she was not comfortable in that environment. She's looking around, fear on her face, scowling, and she's like, I hate to exercise. And I thought, oh boy.
Yeah, here we go.
this is going to be a tough one. But, you know, she was a very successful businesswoman, still is, and she had a human resources company. So I knew she had the components that would be necessary to stay with fitness, you know, commitment, motivation, drive, perseverance. And so I just began to talk her through it, and I could tell that she relaxed a little bit. And, you know, I said, you will enjoy exercise more than you do at this moment. Just trust me. When you see the results and how you feel, it's going to become a part of your life. And so I began working with her a few times a week with weight training. I also gave her some nutritional tips. I actually wrote out a meal plan for her because she had no idea what to do. And I just saw her change. Her attitude changed. She felt good about herself because she saw the physical changes and all the hard work she was putting into it. She saw the rewards of that. And it inspired me to see her making those positive gains as far as her strength and her motivation. And she's running marathons today. So it was something that she adopted as a lifestyle. And I just love that when people really get it.
You know, I love this. You said what began as a dreaded duty soon became a lifelong habit. And it was really about changing her whole perspective on what is possible. And I love that because so many people think there's the haves and the have-nots. There's the athletic and the not athletic. But we're created for movement. So we all just need to find the mode of movement that works for us. Talking to Kristen Fiola, title of her book is Spiritually Strong, The Ultimate Six-Week Guide to Building Your Body and Soul. Fantastic book. We've got three copies. You've got a question for Kristen about either physical or spiritual health. Now's the time to call. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I'm just saying, put it in your speed dial. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're with Kristen in a moment. That's off of Jeremy Camp's new album. We talked with him last week, had such a great time. That album rocks. And remember I said, if you heard the interview, if you're not a cycler, you get that album, you will be. Get on the cycle, start pounding it out. You will be so motivated. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Kristen Fiola, and we're talking about the very strong connection between our physical and our spiritual health. And in fact, specifically, Kristen's going to unpack the idea of core strength. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. We're going to talk about why that matters, both physically and spiritually. So, Kristen, take it from there. First, talk about, in fact, I'm going to back it up even more. You tell a story in the book, as a fitness person, you had this throbbing in your legs, and you were so frustrated because you thought you had shin splints. You couldn't get to the bottom of it, and it was sort of a mystery for a little bit. Tell that story, if you would.
Yeah, that was a really hard time in my life because I was in so much pain that it really hurt to even walk fast for exercise. And for someone that's very active, It was very discouraging. And my husband is a physical therapist, and he tried as much as he could to figure it out. And yet the pain wouldn't go away. Went to the doctor. There's no stress fracture in my legs. So I didn't know what to do. And then one day my husband, he said, I think I know what's wrong with your legs, or I know why you're hurting. I think the problem is in your low back. And that just made perfect sense. And so we began treating my back, because what happened was the problem was actually in the back and was referring to my legs. And so we had to deal with the low back issue. And I began physical therapy and working through that, doing the exercises that I needed to do to strengthen that part of my body. And it was also my deep abdominal muscles, which are difficult to get to. And the exercises you have to do are just very, they're very subtle. And I was like, I don't even think this is going to work at all, because I'm used to being in the gym and I'm lifting these heavy weights. And these are just exercises that you concentrate on and you squeeze muscles. And
oh, I think I lost her. You there, Kristen?
So
there she is. Maybe that was a call waiting. So anyway, so you were working these deep lower abdominal muscles, and you worked and took care of your back, and it took care of the leg pain, right?
Right. And so I just began to see progress. And through all that, the Lord reminded me that it's the same way with spiritual growth. A lot of times we do these little things every day where we just read a few passages or we pray a little bit, and we don't really see that it's accomplishing much as far as growing in the Lord. But all those exercises add up. And that's really what spiritually strong is all about, because I think sometimes as Christians, we get overwhelmed. We know we need to be strong. We need to grow in the Lord, and that's our desire. But what does that look like? And I think a lot of times we just try to do more as far as activities. Well, if I serve in this ministry and I volunteer in this, and at least I know I struggle with that, and I try to do, and I forget about the basic disciplines that God wants us to do, in that it's just being in His presence and reading His Word, and that's where He helps us to grow.
Mm, okay, so let's talk about a few. And just to be clear, that the physical, the core strength is the strength in your trunk, basically, your abs and your back and your chest and your upper back and all of that. And so we're going to translate that to spiritual core strength. And you talk about some core exercises. As you said, day to day may seem like small changes and small investments, but they net a great result. So here's a few that you mentioned: Bible study, prayer, fasting, healthy living, financial stewardship, which you might think is that connected with spiritual health, but it is, and serving others. And then you say the benefits are building balance, developing proper posture, enabling you to perform tasks with ease, protect you from pain and injury, and increases energy. So let's take them one by one. Start with Bible study. You have a whole section on Bible study and why it matters.
Right. You know, the best way to know God is to know His Word. And God's Word is, that's how He speaks to us. That's how He reveals Himself to us. And in the book, It's Spiritually Strong, I talk about the difference between Bible reading and Bible study. And there is a difference, because we can read the Bible and do it quickly and not really take time to listen to what God is saying and how it applies to our lives. And so in the book, I encourage people to study the Bible. Look at the context of the passage. Ask God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to learn from this? And to journal. And I give some other tips on how to make that time rich. Because one of the main excuses not reading the Bible is it's boring to me. I don't understand it, you know. And so I really help people get into a place where you can understand what God is saying to you through regular Bible study.
Mm, and here's a quote from your book. Just as you have a physical core, you also possess a spiritual core. Your spiritual core consists of four muscles: your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you're healthy in all these areas, you're free to move as God leads. Love that. However, if you allow your spiritual muscles to atrophy, you prevent yourself from attaining your full potential in Christ. And so let's stop here and break this down a little bit. So heart, you kind of, cardia, is that the Greek word?
Yes.
And the inner life, the inner self, the place of thoughts and feelings, unpack that core muscle.
Really, this comes from Mark 12:30. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And just like in a gym setting physically, if you just work on your biceps, the rest of your body is going to suffer. You have to focus on the whole body, all of the major muscle groups. The same thing spiritually. If you just study the Bible, and that's great, you should be studying the Bible, but there are so many other disciplines and exercises that you should be doing to round out your spiritual life. And so you really need to incorporate all of these. And they're mentioned in God's word, so we can't neglect them, just like you can't just focus on one exercise physically. It's the same spiritually.
And so when you're focusing on your inner life, you are studying, but there's more to it than that. You're really paying attention to your inner story and right? I mean, what's going on? Untangling your fears and paying attention to when your thoughts kind of go rogue.
Right. And that's really where the prayer comes in, the second spiritual exercise. You talk to God about some of these things that you read in the Word. You talk to Him about your fears, and you pray for your needs, and you pray for other people's needs. And that's so important. And that communication, responding to God's Word and worshiping Him. And in Spiritually Strong, I talk about all the elements of prayer, because sometimes we just think prayer is telling God what you need, and it is, but there's so much more. And then that leads to the fasting. So all of these disciplines build on one another, and they're all connected.
Mm. Love this quote from your book. When you talk, God listens. When you listen, God speaks. Mm. And this is a two-way conversation, so I absolutely love that. And so when we rush through our prayer times, we miss the idea that He actually has some things to say to us and that we have some things to say to Him. So maybe unpack that before we move to fasting. Say just another word about what's possible in somebody's prayer life. Maybe they've just sort of shown up, gone through the motions again and again, that they didn't even realize they could grow in their prayer life and experience something of God maybe they haven't ever before.
That's such a great topic. And I would say for me, that what has made the difference in my prayer life more than anything is praying the Word of God. And a lot of times, you know, I might be struggling with something, and I'll just open my Bible, and I have verses highlighted, and I'll just start speaking words that I see, verses, you know, like right here, I'm looking at Proverbs 35. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And then I'll just turn that into a prayer, and I'll say, God, Your word is flawless. You're a shield to me. I take refuge in You. And that's where you grow strong in your prayer life, because our words, as good as they may be, as eloquent as we might want to think we are, when we pray the Word of God, that's where the power is. And so that's been the biggest thing for me, and I would recommend that to anyone who wants to grow in prayer. Mm-hmm. Pray the Word of God aloud.
And it helps you really cultivate a listening voice as well, because you get to know more and more what His voice sounds like. Well, we just have a moment before we take a break. But, you know, God speaks to us in a way that He knows we'll understand. He knows what it takes for us to hear and understand Him. Yet, so often you hear folks say, I can't hear Him. I don't sense His voice. What piece of advice mm-hmm. do you have for that person who says, I can't discern what He's saying to me?
Wow, that's really good. I would say the more that you're in the Word of God, because the Bible even says this, I've hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Well, it's that hiding God's word in your heart. When you do that, when you are familiar with scriptures, God can bring those back to you. And that's many times how He'll speak, is He'll remind you of His promises. Those scriptures will come to mind. For example, if you're in a situation where you feel anxious, this is a verse I've used a lot. Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I will trust in You. And I cannot even tell you how many times the Lord has reminded me of that passage, of that promise, that I can trust in Him. And so when you know the scripture, then you can hear God's voice more clearly too.
Mm, so good. Another thing I've noticed as I've just cultivated a listening ear is obedience. It's amazing mm-hmm. to me how obedience gives you a heightened sense, sensitivity to God's voice. Love to hear from you. You're a little quiet today on this beautiful, beautiful day. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. I'd love to know from you, if you don't have a question for Kristen, my question for you is, what is the first discipline for you to go? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? When life gets crazy, what drops off first? I'd love to know. 877-933-2484 or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Do you believe that? If you're a Christ follower, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Excuse me. I want you just to ponder that, especially as it relates to how you walk out your physical and your spiritual health, because God has great things for you to do. Our choices do matter. It matters if we care for our physical and spiritual health. Talking to fitness expert and Christ follower Kristen Fiola. Her book is titled Spiritually Strong, The Ultimate Six-Week Guide to Building Your Body and Soul. And Kristen, I'm curious from your own life, when life sort of tilts, you know, and it gets kind of crazy, unpredictably, it's just sometimes everything kind of comes due at the same time. Is there a discipline that tends to be the first to fall off your plate?
I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I would have to say probably prayer, and I love to pray. I really, really do. But yes, if I get busy sometimes, I just think, well, if I just accomplish all this, then I'll be able to sit down and focus on the Lord and really be relaxed, you know, and I'm learning, I pray first. And then everything else will fall into place. But yeah, that's where I struggle.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. Just because everybody has their thing and that we have to grab back again, you know? So let's talk about fasting. I know our listeners tend to have lots of questions around fasting. Why do we fast? How do we fast? Take it from there.
I think a lot of times people have the idea that the only way to fast is to just drink water and nothing else. And while that's a great way to fast, there are other options. One is a juice fast, and another one would be, which would also be a liquid fast if you wanted to do broth and water as well. And then a partial fast, which is the Daniel fast. And one of the reasons I believe that many Christians do the Daniel fast is because they are allowed to eat some food. And this is great for people who are on medication and have to eat food. They can still participate in this discipline. And so with fasting, you have different options that you can participate in. Sometimes people might just want to do a one-day fast. The Daniel fast is actually 3 weeks, but you could do any amount of time.
And would you mind unpacking the Daniel fast for us, for somebody listening who doesn't know exactly what that is?
Right. The purpose of the Daniel fast is to abstain from certain foods, and these are usually foods that you enjoy and maybe find a little bit of comfort in, just for a period of 3 weeks as a way to say, Lord, I love you, and I'm willing to set these aside out of devotion to you as an act of worship. And so in my book, The Ultimate Guide to the Daniel Fast, and on my website, I have a list of foods. And what you can have on the Daniel fast are healthy foods, whole grains, fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, beans, legumes, and quality oils. And then you eliminate foods such as caffeine. That always gets people.
She pauses.
Like, oh, I was okay until you said that. Caffeine, meat, dairy products, really no animal products at all on the Daniel fast. Added sugar, and of course, fried and fast foods, chemicals, preservatives. You're really trying to eat as cleanly as possible for that 3 weeks.
So our producer says, so basically anything that tastes good?
Yeah, it's a sacrifice. It's a fast.
Can you do Twinkies, Matt? No, you can't. He doesn't like those anyway. So what kind of response have you heard from people who've engaged in the Daniel fast?
You know, I think people are genuinely surprised at how good they feel and how good the food tastes. Initially, they might have some side effects, depending on how their diet is typically. If there's a lot of sugar and things like that that mask flavor, it may take them a little while. But then they're usually enjoying the fast by the end, and they feel great. They really do.
And there are some, you do tend to get some side effects at the front end, especially if you're somebody who eats a lot of junk. So, I mean, I know there's things that happen with your breath and just maybe headaches in your body detoxifying. Just so somebody doesn't worry, if they're detoxifying, what might that look like?
There are a lot of different side effects. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, backache. Definitely sluggishness. You feel like sore in your muscles. Sometimes people can even have cold-like symptoms. It's so strange. I've heard a wide variety of different side effects, but usually by about day 3 or day 4, those tend to go away, so it doesn't last forever.
Yeah, and to press through, because on the other side of that, you'll start to feel really good. I don't think people realize how many folks live with a low level of misery because they're just... they're toxic in a way. There's just so much stuff in them that really needs to go. And wow, love that. Okay, the fourth exercise you address is healthy living. Talk about that.
And I know you can relate to this, Susie. I do. I see the connection with physical and spiritual. And you really can't be all that God's called you to be. You can't be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power if you neglect your physical body. It's so important that we are strong physically so we can carry out all God has called us to do. And it doesn't mean we all have to be perfect in how we eat or we all have to be bodybuilders, but we need to really take responsibility for this temple that God dwells in us, and try to do the best that we can. Regular exercise, and that's going to look different for everyone, but just being intentional about adding activity. Like you said earlier, we're created for movement, and when you don't move, your body breaks down. And so just making healthy choices with exercise and eating, it's so important, and it honors God.
And you feel better. I mean, it reduces stress. I mean, it ups your energy. There's so many benefits. You know, it takes a little bit of energy to make energy. And so to exert some, boy, the return is amazing. Let's talk about a few bad eating habits that once you realize you're doing it, you might not even realize it. But once you do realize, it's really worth stopping. Eating while doing other activities, finishing off other people's plates, and eating too much. Too much fast food. So let's talk about this first one, eating while doing other activities. Explain why that is a habit that's super unhealthy.
Because when you eat while doing something else, such as watching TV or doing some kind of work, writing or whatever it might be, you actually consume more calories than you realize. And especially if you're nervous or stressed, you can really put it in quickly. And people just don't know how much they're eating. I think that's one of the biggest issues with that.
I got to tell you, and this might sound funny, but, you know, working at the radio station, I'll go get my lunch from the kitchen sometimes, and I'm walking back. And one day I was walking back and praying over my food because I was going to eat it at my desk. And I just heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, I would prefer you not do anything else when you're praying for your food. And that stopped me in my tracks years ago.
Wow.
And since then I pause and stop everything. Because I thought, boy, God deserves a lot more than that from me. Walking while he's just a side note and I'm, oh, by the way, thanks for this meal. And, you know,
wow.
Scripture talks about, you know, this is a prayer that I pray before every meal. You bless my food and my drink. You remove sickness from my midst. Because that's in Scripture. And so that's part of my prayer. But to stop and pause and remember that every good gift comes from him, that many go to bed hungry every single night. You know, I have no business multitasking while I'm thanking him for my food, you know?
That's really good.
And how about finishing off other people's plates? Other than that, could be a relational drain, but anything else?
Well, you know, that's really specifically to parents. And I put that in there because I struggle with that. I don't like to waste food. And I see my kids with, you know, half of something on their plate and they don't want to eat it. And I think, well, yeah, I can eat it, I guess. And so that's just really having the discipline to say, you know, I'm full and it's okay. Not that we want to be wasteful, but you don't have to finish someone else's plate. That's not your responsibility. And so just being aware of that and try not to fall into that trap.
Very good. This listener wrote in, wondering how you can keep working out from becoming an idol when it's something that you truly enjoy doing. That is a great question. And I think her question also lends itself to why many Christians are at times, what I've heard, are afraid to dig in to this because they've seen such idolatry that they avoid it altogether. But like this particular listener enjoys it. How do you keep it from becoming an idol?
Well, I can speak on that because exercise has been an idol in my life, and I would say to look at your day and see what you are doing first. And this might not apply to everyone, but for me, I would get up and I would exercise first thing, and I would spend an hour or more doing weights or cardio or whatever. And then I would come home and maybe spend 15 minutes with the Lord. And so the Lord really began to deal with me on that. And for a while, I was so convicted. I said, God, I'm not going to the gym or doing anything else until I spend time in your word. Now, that doesn't always apply every day, but I just had to look at the amount of time I was spending trying to get strong physically, trying to exercise. And I still honestly struggle with that. I have to make sure that God is getting my very best, and that there's a balance there, that it's not out of balance. And so maybe that would help you, the person who wrote that, just to ask the Lord, God, is this a problem in my life? I do love it, but I don't want it to be more than it should be. I want you to be first place. And God will show you. He will put that, conviction in your heart if something needs to change.
Mm. And also really to look at, is this serving me or am I serving it? Because
right. When
you add time to it so it can better serve you, so you're stronger and better. And so the fruit of it is really that you show up for life more alert and healthy. That's one thing. But when relationships fail, when other really important things fail, you're serving it. It's no longer serving you. I'm so sorry about my voice. Another listener wrote in, 3 years ago, I was frustrated by my eating habits. I live alone. I would eat healthy breakfast, healthy lunch, but never plan my evening meals and would fall into eating one treat and then another and then another. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated with these daily exceptions that I was allowing and was so I Googled healthy body sugar and learned a lot. I switched to focusing on whole foods only and it made a great difference. But after 1.5 years, I gradually fell off the wagon. While I was faithful to the diet, I went from being 10 points high on my cholesterol each year to having my cholesterol be 40 points below the max. And that was after adding bacon and eggs to my diet twice a week. Many other benefits, too. I'm not sure what that point was. But listening to this program with Kristen on the Daniel fast and the lifestyle change covering spiritual needs sounds very interesting. Thank you. So there's that. Okay, thank you for that. So the third one you talked about as far as just a bad eating habit that we need to look at is eating too much fast food. And we are a fast food culture, and I think that can be so dangerous for so many reasons because we're not thinking long, we're thinking get through the moment. And you live too much, get through the moment, there's a long-term impact. So talk about that.
And I think what this person who just wrote in, she talked about how she would have healthy breakfast, healthy lunch, and then she wouldn't plan her evening meal. And I think that word plan is the key.
Yeah.
If we are very careful in planning our meals, we will be less likely to grab something fast food, something convenient. So it doesn't have to be written out for like a month at a time, but just in your mind as you go shopping, think about meals you're going to put together for the week. And that helps so much because when we want to eat out is when we're not prepared and we don't have anything or we don't think we do. And it's also not being a good steward financially because eating out is expensive. It's always cheaper to go to the store, even if you have to run at the last minute, and that's inconvenient. You have to run to the store and get something for that night's meal. It's much better than spending $30 or $40 or $50 going out to eat.
And I just read this again. And so what she was 40 points high on cholesterol. No, she was 10 points over the max, so it must have been over 200 something. And now through her planning and her careful attention to diet, she's 40 points below. So she had a 50-point drop there from changing and planning. And, you know, I know for me, just even with my workouts, having such a full schedule, I plan those ahead of time as I plan anything else. I look ahead at my schedule and I plug them in and I go, I kind of set my face like flint and I don't let myself off the hook. And even if I have to make some adjustments, I do. But for the most part, I think if you sort of wait till the spirit moves you, so to speak, you might confuse your emotions for the spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm feeling like I don't want to exercise, but I think it's so important. Go ahead and speak to that.
Oh, I was just going to say one more thing about eating out. If you give yourself some boundaries on that and say, I'm only going to eat out 2 times a week or whatever, that will help as well, because then you won't be tempted just to do that at the last minute. If you know, I've already eaten out twice or 3 times, that's my limit and I'm not going beyond that. Little discipline there.
Yes, absolutely. Let's say one more word before we take this next break about emotional eating and why it doesn't work. You address this in the book about this particular food will make me feel better. This food will stop the pain. It'll make me happy. This food, filling up on this food, will make me feel less empty. And we approach food that way, thinking it will help, but it doesn't. So talk about that.
Wow, I could probably write a whole book on that topic right there. I get so many emails from people who struggle with this. And I think really, if we were honest, all of us struggle at some point with emotional eating, whether it's happy eating or sad eating or stress eating. And it's just recognizing when we use food as a go-to, as a comfort instead of the Lord. And we can develop those bad habits and not even realize it and just stop and say, why am I eating right now? And if you recognize that you're stressed or angry, turn to the Lord, turn to prayer, because the more that you turn to food, it can become an addiction, and it will become an addiction if you don't stop it right there in the thought process and say, God, what I need right now is you, and food is not going to satisfy me.
And wouldn't you say that every time something does come up that compels you to want to eat emotionally, really it's an opportunity for God to move in your life. And so to medicate, to default to medicating that emotion is to short circuit your spiritual growth. So look at it as an opportunity to meet with God and see what he has to say about what it is you're feeling, because he cares about your emotions. When we come back, we're going to tackle financial stewardship and serving others, how those add to our core spiritual health. Isn't it interesting? One more segment left. If you want to call Kristen and ask a question, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com, talking about financial stewardship and serving others and why it matters in a moment. Doesn't that song make you want to move? It sure does me. So glad you tuned in. I am Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are talking about physical and spiritual health. And talking to Kristen Fiola today, unpacking these core things that make us strong spiritually. Bible study, prayer, fasting, healthy living. Now the next two are financial stewardship and serving others. So talk about financial stewardship. And I'm sure that one came as a surprise to some, but I totally get it. So talk about it.
In the chapter Financial Stewardship, I talk about a lot of different ways that we give, not just financially, but also giving our possessions, our time, and our resources, and how that's all tied together. I also discuss in Spiritually Strong about creating a simple budget, because, you know, God has given us all of these things. Everything that we own is from the Lord, and we want to honor him with our choices. And so a budget can help you set those parameters to keep you from overspending and maybe getting in the hole in some categories with your money. And so it just helps you develop some basic systems to keep your finances in order.
Anything else that you've learned as you've worked towards that and worked on sowing, you know, giving, tithing, those kinds of things? What have you learned about the Lord as far as core strength, the more that you've engaged your faith in your finances?
I just see him giving in abundance in all of those areas. Like my pastor always says, you can't outgive God, and that's so true. Mm-hmm. And tithing, you know, for me, there is nothing that I dread about tithing. It's something that I've practiced for years. Thankfully, I was in a church that taught tithing when I was younger. I saw my mother put a check in the offering plate. And so I just grew up, it was just part of what I did. And it's such a joy to give, because God always blesses far and above what I've given him. And I love seeing him do that. And so it's just an honor to give. And so I just want people to experience that joy that tithing can bring.
You know, that again, that's something we've addressed on the show a number of times, because I do too. I believe so strongly that if we compartmentalize our faith to the point where we don't give him access to our checkbook, and that, you know, people are so leery because there's been misuses, but you put the misuses aside, what Jesus said is give and it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, mm-hmm. shaken together, running over. I mean, he has a bigger shovel, and we don't give to get, but to experience him as our provider and not ourselves as our provider. So there's so much about the spiritual adventure that is necessary when we engage our finances. We'll see something of God that's amazing. Okay, serving Thanks. Others. Love this. This is like mm-hmm. cardio training right here, isn't it?
Yes, and the Lord really brought that chapter in toward the end, really, as I was writing, and I was like, this is so great, God, because the first five disciplines are all about strengthening ourselves, building up our faith. And it seems very inward, but here's the beauty of discipline, is that when we take care of ourselves, then we're equipped, fully equipped by the Lord to serve other people. And that's really what it's all about, is loving God and showing his love to others. And there's such joy in that. And so, yes, I love this chapter. And so many people don't think about that, but being spiritually strong is being available for service when God needs us and mm-hmm. wants to use us.
And something I've learned, and I'd love for you to speak to it, is I personally don't believe that the need always dictates the call, because you'll burn yourself out, and I've been there and done that. But really, as you do cultivate a lifestyle of listening, of prayer, of studying scripture, and staying in step with him, you sense the invitation. And then the call mm-hmm. that he gives you the grace to sustain it. Because everywhere you turn, if you just become a slot filler, you know, and you just jump in and jump in and jump in, you'll burn yourself out. What say you?
Yes, I agree with that, because God has placed within each of us gifts. And, you know, like the Bible says, we're a body of Christ, but we're not all the same. We all have different parts. And it's just being in God's presence, listening to him, walking to him, serving him, loving him, doing all of these things. And I believe as you do that, God really shows you what he's created you to do. And I've seen him do that in my own life. And I sometimes wake up and I'm like, God, I can't even believe I get to do this. But I look back over my life and I see the times I was a personal trainer and when I worked in advertising and when I taught fitness classes at a local university. And I just see how God has used all of that to prepare me for what he has for me. And he does that for all of us, but we have to be in his presence. We have to be in his word. We have to be listening. And then he'll show us the way to go, just like the Bible says.
Well, Laurel called in and she says, when I pick up a habit, I keep at it for a few weeks, but it seems impossible for me to maintain a habit. What advice does Kristen have for people like me?
Well, I think about what the Bible says. I just quoted it to myself today. I think it's 2 Peter 1:3 that says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. And that's a great encouragement to me when I feel like that, when I feel like, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't have the strength to do it. He's given us what we need in Christ. We just have to trust him for it. And that's a daily thing, walking that out. And that's part of what Spiritually Strong helps you to do.
Yeah. And I think a simple prayer, Laurel, that you can pray is, Lord, I don't want to. Help me want to. Mm-hmm. And there's something to that. And then, you know, if you don't feel like doing a full workout, give yourself 5-10 minutes. And that's usually all it takes to get the full workout in, because it's the getting started, isn't it? That's sometimes the hardest. You get going and you're like, oh, okay, I'll give the rest of my time.
I've often said that the hardest part of any program is just getting started. That's exactly right.
Okay, let's talk for just a moment. We just have a couple minutes before I ask you to pray about the idea of opposition and resistance, because enemy doesn't want us to be our best selves physically and spiritually, because that to me is when we're strong, when we're mobile, when we're agile. And in fact, you wrote, be prepared for resistance during this program. Challenges may come in the form of people or circumstances. When you face opposition, be like Nehemiah, who continued the work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem despite mockery and persecution. Even when his enemies sent persistent requests for him to cease efforts and meet with them, Nehemiah refused to be distracted. Say a word about that.
Oh, I love the story of Nehemiah. I spent all of January just going through that again and again. And if you look at Nehemiah's pattern, every time he had an obstacle, he had prayed. I mean, it says that several times. When his enemies would mock him, they prayed. He prayed to God constantly. And I think that's really the key, is just crying out to the Lord whenever we face obstacles, knowing that he's with us, that he will provide. And because Nehemiah was faithful to do the work that God called him to do, he saw a miracle. He saw God do something only the Lord could do, building that wall in 52 days. And he'll do the same for us if we trust him.
So good. Looks like we have a call. I'm not sure what the question is. Oh, we don't have a call. Someone just calling in. Okay, well, we're getting ready to pray then. This time went by so quickly. And Kristen, I'd love for you to come back and address the topic of physical and spiritual health on somewhat of a regular basis whenever it works, because it's so important. We can talk about that off the air. But as we wrap up, would you pray for that person listening who just feels disengaged physically and spiritually and just senses as you're talking the invitation from the Lord for themselves personally?
Lord God, we just worship you. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, that we don't have to earn your love, that you just give us favor because you're so awesome, Lord. And I pray for those listeners today who have tuned in, and some of them may be at a place where they're just so frustrated, God, and they just want to know that you will help them. And they hear about this program and they just think, oh, I would love to be strong in you, God, but I just don't know if I can do it. Lord, you promise that you will equip us. And I pray that they would hold on to your word that says that we don't have to fear. God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And so, God, I just pray that Spiritually Strong would be a resource that can help people who just need a little bit of accountability, a little bit of strength, God, to go on. And so, Lord, I just pray for blessing and for favor on each person who's listening today. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given me to share with them. And I pray, God, that your spirit would strengthen them in their inner being, that they would overflow with hope and joy and peace, and that they would believe your promises, God, because your promises are true. You are faithful and loving toward all you have made. And God, we can trust you. Mm-hmm. You'll never abandon us or forsake us. You're with us always. And God, we look to you because you are our hope and our shield. You satisfy us, Lord. Nothing else does. And we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians 6, the Message paraphrase. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take up all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential to this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Well, Kristen, this was a great time. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you, dear sister.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Send me an email if you've got some questions or comments. Love to hear from you. Finally, I'll leave you with this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. So stay close to him. Walk intimately with him. Do the next thing he tells you. He'll never forsake you. It's impossible for him to fail you. Bless your day. We'll meet you back here next time.